Okay, this is a traffic and safety meeting held on November 17th, 2021. I will now take roll. Chairman Reese?
Here.
Commissioner Caro?
Here.
Commissioner Gillis?
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt? Commissioner J. Rahman?
Here.
Commissioner Asga?
Here.
And Commissioner Chase?
Here.
All right, Mr. Chairman, take it away.
Is Rick Gillis on the in person or on the Zoom?
So, yeah, John Asga, Rick Gillis, and Pat Chase are all in person.
Okay, Ms. Chase, Pat Chase is there too?
Correct.
Okay.
And we have one member of the public.
Can you turn them up just a hair?
Yeah, because I can't hear me either. Yes.
Are you Samantha Tepper? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Ms. Tepper is here as well for the item on the agenda.
Okay, great. So we've got a couple things on the agenda today. One is the issue that Ms. Tepper raised with respect to Vine and Thatcher. I also see we have Lydia Manning here to speak about Chicago and William. And I think there was another member of the public who wrote in about similar area, Chicago and Bonnie Bray, but effectively the same area. So we'll start by seeing if we can get approval of the minutes. And then after that, we'll turn it over to the issue of the first raised by Ms. Tepper with respect to a request for a stop sign or some other action at Thatcher and Vine. So why don't we start, any comment on the minutes, or can we get a motion to approve the minutes from September 15, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
Who seconded that?
Dave Caro did.
We just say all in favor, Jeff, or do you need a vote?
Let me take a vote real quick. Chairman Reed.
Yes.
Commissioner Caro.
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis.
Yeah.
Commissioner Hoyt. Commissioner J. Rahman.
Yes.
Commissioner Asga.
Yes.
Commissioner Chase.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Doug, if I cut you off real quick, I've got the volume in this room pegged, but you're still really hard to hear. If you could kind of just speak closer into the microphone or something, that would be helpful.
Okay. Is that a little bit better?
Sure.
Okay, I'll try to speak up. So why don't we start with Ms. Tepper, and I understand that Ms. Tepper is at Village Hall, so if she would be able to take the podium and speak into the microphone and identify herself and her address, and we've read her request, but if she'd like to make any comment, we'll turn it over to her.
Hello, my name is Samantha Tepper. I live at 15 Thatcher Avenue. We moved there about a year ago, and we just had a baby. We've been walking a lot this summer, and with the stroller and our dog, and just noticed that there are just a lot of people speeding down Thatcher. There's only one stop sign, and that's at Washington and Thatcher Avenue. And I think it's just, to me, it just seems like too long of a stretch without any stoppage. And so that's why I filed the request to evaluate for a stop sign or speed bumps in the area. I had to walk to get the signatures. And I can say that almost every house had kids and were firmly in favor. Everybody in the area has to walk to school or bike, or their parents drive them sometimes, but when it's nice, they walk or bike, and they said it's dangerous, on the street. So, and I put this in my email, but when I was walking one of the nights, the forest is right across the street from us, and we saw a deer, almost get hit by a car, and it's that's cost to the city too in a different way when you've got to come and get carcasses and things. So it's just better for all to slow people down a little bit on that street. I don't know if there's any other questions for me, but That's why I filed.
Ms. Tipper, I do have one question, and that is, have you seen the evaluation that was done by KLOA, the consultants?
No, I glanced at the minute or the agenda for today, and I saw the photographs that were taken. I didn't see like any statistics or evaluation or anything, but I might have just missed it. I only glanced.
Okay, and let me ask a question to Jeff, and that is because it also relates to, I think, the issue that Ms. Manning is here for. Although this particular report from the traffic consultants is specific to the area raised by you, Ms. Tepper. Jeff, if Ms. Manning or the public wanted to see this KLOA report, is it available on the website, or can you explain how they can see it?
Yeah, so when KLOA puts a memo together for one of our requests like this, we work it into the agenda packet. So the photographs that you saw, Ms. Tepper, were kind of part of that. This mm-hmm. on your screen for anybody who can see it. This is the KLOA memo. They put these together. They summarize the existing conditions. They kind of talk through some of the evaluations that they do, what they're evaluating in terms of data. They kind of put their recommendations together and their conclusion. And then the kind of site photos, if you will, are their appendix to their report. So that information is all included within the agenda packet, which is posted on the website ahead of meeting.
Thank you. And yeah, there may be other commissioners who want to speak to this. And so I do want, Ms. Tepper, for you to hear what the conclusions and the recommendations were from the consultants. But why don't I turn it over to members of the commission and see if any members of the commission either have questions for you or want to make any comment with respect to your request, which I understand is either a stop sign, to do a three-way stop at that intersection, or to install speed bumps or some other traffic calming device. I mean, your request was specific to speed bumps, I should say. And I saw at least one of the people who signed your petition was not keen on speed bumps, but sounds like there are people generally in favor of some action in that area. Let me turn it over to the commissioners and see if any members of the commission want to either ask you any questions, Ms. Tepper, or make any comment.
I have one question, Jeff, and I can't remember. We have a speed camera or a speed display.
Rick, let me interrupt you just for those of us, because we can't see you on cameras. It's Rick Gillis.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, Rick Gillis, Commissioner.
Thanks, Rick.
So we have, I believe, one speed device that's north of Washington. Am I correct in my...
For southbound traffic?
For northbound traffic.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'm almost positive we have one over there on Thatcher between Hawthorne and Madison.
Now. It was there. There was one for a little while. I was wondering if somebody else had asked for something over there, at the corner where you turn to get under the train tracks.
So. Yeah, it's up that way, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's gone now.
Yeah.
It's no longer there.
Correct.
Oh, it's no longer there?
It's not there.
No. It was there for a little while.
While you're speaking, since we're far enough away, you could remove your mask or lower your mask. It might be easier for everyone to hear.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
For everyone. Okay. It's no longer there, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
I thought it was still. Okay.
There's one in front of the community center right now.
Oh, that's the mobile one. But I think, wasn't there a fixed one?
No, I think it was mobile as well, and it's not there anymore.
Okay. Because one of the things that we could consider right now, without going further in discussion here, but do we put one of those speed monitors south of Vine between Madison and Vine for the northbound traffic?
Where they turned off of Madison Street at northbound onto Thatcher?
Yes. Although speeding is, in this case, I think it's going both ways, correct, on Thatcher?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a lot of, we're right near the end of the street, like right near the community center. And we get a lot of people who turn onto Thatcher and are like peeling out.
Right.
So I think that's why I notice it a lot more, because it's loud.
I mean, we know it's a good cut through street.
Oh.
For residents and non-residents, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just paint a little color on this, Ms. Tepper, because this is John Osga. I'm a commissioner as well. So there are some long blocks in River Forest. And in a previous meeting, we were talking about Thatcher again, from Lake Street to Chicago Avenue, which is another long stretch in the village that doesn't have any north-south. We were talking about that. And when we think of remedies within the village, speed bumps are not a remedy due to, you know, clearing snow. We've gone over this a million times in the time that I've been here, but typically, I don't think there's a speed bump in River Forest. So speed bumps don't happen. It is a long stretch. We talked about it on Thatcher. Now, because you only glanced at the report, you didn't read it, I'll briefly go over the conclusion that KLOA came up with. And they did a study over there. They looked at traffic counts, speed surveys, crash data, and the intersection configuration. So with that long two blocks that you have there, what they came up with is that traffic volumes on Thatcher Avenue generally fall within the acceptable range for collector roads, confirming that Thatcher Avenue is operating as designated. The results of those traffic count, speed surveys, crash data, intersection configuration do not warrant the provision of an all-way stop control. Now, here comes to your argument. The travel speeds of traffic on Thatcher Avenue with an average median speed of 27 miles per hour and an average 85th percentile speed of 32 miles per hour are reasonable and within the range of typically acceptable speeds. Maybe not acceptable to us. You just had a baby. You've been here a year. I've had four. I've been on this commission for 16 years. So, you know, we all have concerns with little kids running around. So we're on your side here. And then the last bullet point on the report is, in order to mitigate any excessive speeding that is typically occurring in the southbound direction, so they did mention that most of the speeding is southbound, enforcement measures should be considered as well as the provision of temporary speed signs and or permanent radar speed signs. Now, do you know what a radar speed sign is?
Is that what they were just, like, kind of what was placed there?
No. Permanent? So a radar speed sign is, in a permanent configuration, is what we're talking about doing north on Thatcher, and we've done on Chicago Avenue and and Washington. I live right here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And on Washington, if you're going over the speed limit, it says speed limit 25, and if you're going over, it flashes. Mm-hmm. And that does a really good job to alert people that they're speeding. So with your specific situation, and I'm not saying people listen to them, you know, to the signs, but, you know, you can't fix stupid, and that's just the way it is in some situations. But with your situation, I think because it's a long stretch, like Thatcher from Lake to Chicago, I think it's important that we consider, you know, take into consideration your and your neighbor's requests to do something that will potentially slow down the pass-through drivers. I mean, I don't know how many residents of River Forest speed. I'll bet you it's probably 50%. That do, and probably the other 50% are the people that are passing through. But in my experience, these temporary where they have the big box there and the gun and the slowdown, that is exactly that. It can slow people down temporarily because they think that they're being gunned for a ticket. And then what we do is we mitigate if it's within the budget. And also remember that what we recommend here then goes upstairs to the board when they have their meeting, and they're the ones that vote. We just offer recommendations to the board, and then they vote on it. And they have considerations such as budget, other resident input. We've had situations where some residents are completely against bumps in the road. You know, don't want to rip out the bottom of my brand new $150,000 Porsche or something like that. So that comes into play as well. So I'm giving you the overview of the summary, so you know, and you can read it at your leisure when you get back to your place later. But in my experience, I'm just going to opine that because it is a long stretch, as a commission, we should make some recommendations. But speed bumps, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Stop sign, potentially. But these radar speed signs and other, and Mr. Gillis is phenomenal at coming up with everything that's in the books, what we can do to potentially remedy the situation. And Jeff, I don't know what we've done for Thatcher from Lake to Chicago, if we've come up with any ideas or remedies there, but I think this situation mimics that stretch to a degree. I think we had one of those radar speed signs, but we were thinking about doing another one in the other direction to potentially slow, but perhaps we can kill two birds with one stone here, whereas I don't think you have anything in your stretch that would be called a permanent radar speed sign. And if not, look into that, and the board can decide if it's within the budget for this year or next year or whenever. But I am with you on slowing down traffic there, because it is a long stretch. And we're trying to slow traffic down. We're not trying, or at least me personally, I won't talk for the rest of the board, I'm not trying to put stop signs everywhere. But the speed could definitely come down on these long stretches of road that are left in your situation, two blocks up north, two blocks. So that's just my two cents into this to give you a little overview of what the consultant said, how I feel, what the village typically does, and then we can hopefully come up with recommendations that can help you and the residents over there out.
And what John was saying, I've got a photo of it. There is one on Thatcher. I don't know if you can see that. I believe 220 Thatcher. See that? Right there, the sign.
Yeah, I think
that's on there. So when you're going, if you're doing 25, speed limit, you know, you're fine. And then you do 28, starts flashing yellow. You do 31, and it starts flashing blue. And so they've been very effective.
And that's southbound.
Hey, excuse me, Rick, if that's you speaking, you need to speak into your mic better.
Oh.
Sorry, that's better, right?
Yeah.
There we go. I muted, so my apologies.
Rick.
So anyways, that's what John was talking about, is those type of signs that have been very effective.
Yep. I'm open to whatever the group decides.
Yeah.
Frank, I just put my thoughts of what I knew of, but, you know, I'm obviously open to what you all
recommend. And this may be something, you know, again, what John was saying, the consultants, their analysis is saying that something shouldn't be done at that intersection. However, there are other things in our pocket that we can do trying to slow people down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are questions or comments from other commissioners? Dave Carroll.
Yeah, thank you. So you know, forgive my ignorance on this, but I know that for a period of time, River Forest had a automatic citation generating camera, I think, on the corner of Harlem and Lake. I don't know if it's still there because I've been appropriately trained to come to a complete stop there before turning. But the city of Chicago has had, I think, probably substantial success slowing traffic down in parks and whatnot with ticket generating speed cameras. And while as a resident, I'm both loath to introduce more of them to society because I don't like them, but they do slow traffic down. And I'm wondering if, you know, John or Doug or the more experienced commissioners can comment at all, or Jeff can comment at all as to whether or not we've ever entertained those, whether it's prohibitively expensive to install them, or whether the, you know, contracts that require the citation generating contracts are burdensome, or what the general feeling is on that as a potential approach.
So the village has had red light cameras at Lake and Harlem and North and Harlem for a few years, and we're changing vendors and trying to switch that out, but it doesn't sound like that's what you're talking about, Commissioner Carroll. I am not aware in my time with the commission of the village ever having a ticket generating speed camera in play.
We have not, but my understanding, and we can confirm this, but I believe Chicago is the only municipality where that is allowed. So the park zone, the school zone, speed cameras to generate tickets automatically.
Yeah, and under what rule or regulation would it be prohibited for municipalities other than Chicago?
You know what? I'll ask Jeff to confirm that, but I know we have talked about this in the past, and I was told that from someone who knows a lot about this stuff, but we'll confirm it. Because frankly, I'm in agreement with you in certain areas. I think that would be great.
And I apologize. Is this our new manager speaking? Could you, do you mind identifying yourself and introducing yourself so we can say welcome?
Could you repeat that, Doug?
I was just asking who that was that was answering that question, and whether that's our new person that we should be introduced to and welcome.
Oh, no, that was Rick Gillis.
Oh, it was Rick?
Yeah.
I thought you sounded like the new village manager. He's not on.
No.
All right. I mean,
I'm curious to hear also about these ticket cameras, but I am like Commissioner Carroll, I'm 100% against. I believe it's a Pandora's box that once we get into it, it's just going to be, I can't imagine the board approving that. I can't imagine residents wanting to be filmed and ticketed as they drive through their own town. I just don't think we're there yet in this town to start monitoring people on cameras. But in this specific, and I know we're going to talk about this a little later on Chicago Avenue, but with this particular situation on Thatcher, which is not Chicago Avenue, this is way above anything we need. I have to deal with the argument from the people on Keystone that have become so emphatic, which, you know, I have to reverse some of the things that the board has done over there to prevent traffic from entering River Forest, which I think is, or steering traffic towards the community center where there's kids running around. This is a situation that is unnecessary on Thatcher. I think with the remedies that we have at our disposal, I think we can tackle this issue there. Slow traffic. I mean, there aren't even houses on both sides of Thatcher. that we have to worry about. There's just the east side, and we can slow that traffic down without speed bumps, without these cameras that give tickets and monitor people's movements in the village. That's where I'm at. And I think once we get to talking about potential remedies, I think we'll come up with something that will suffice, or it'll be a beginning. And then if issues continue, then we take it to the next step. Mm-hmm. But this isn't a situation where we go out headhunting and, you know.
Yeah, I'm not asking for.
No, I know. And it's not you. It's just.
I will say, though, that I think what you brought up about only having houses on one side is one of the reasons we have so much speeding on that street.
Yeah.
Just to keep that in mind.
Maybe if we had more deer, it'll slow traffic down.
I saw a coyote cross the street just yesterday.
So this is Doug Reese speaking. I mean, just based on a little quick internet searching, you know, there are laws that allow speed cameras in municipalities with over 1 million people. And there are standards that require them to limit them to safety zones, as I think Dave mentioned, within an eighth of a mile of a school or of a park. And it notes that in counties, including Cook, there must be a local ordinance. So, you know, whether it has to be limited to municipalities of over 1 million, I don't know the answer to that based on what I'm looking at, but it looks like there would need to be an ordinance. And in any event, it looks like the standard is generally to limit them within an eighth of a mile of a school or a park. So this is not something that, you know, we've ever done in River Forest and looked into. I think it's a good question. And I suppose if it's something that we want to look into further, it'd probably be worth it. And Jeff, it may be that, you know, the village council would be able to confirm A, whether it's even feasible in River Forest, and B, if it were, you know, would it be subject to, you know, the same kinds of standards? So it'd just be interesting to know, because I do think, you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention, and I did ask Jeff, and he did circulate to the commissioners some of the standards that are used, and Samantha, that's why I asked if you'd seen the report, because the report from the consultants cites some of the literature and the experts, if you will, that talk about standards for when there might be signage, you know, of any kind of sign, including stop signs, what kind of standards are generally used to support those kinds of actions. And then, you know, there are other standards for, you know, better ways to control speed. As a general matter, stop signs are not recommended as a way to control speed. They're recommended as a way to control the right of way, you know, so people know who has the right of way at a particular intersection. And there are other ways to consider controlling speed. And as John mentioned, you know, I personally sort of foresee at some period we may, you know, go towards speed bumps, but John's certainly right that historically the village has been reluctant to allow speed bumps, mainly because of, I think, resistance from public works and a view that it'd be difficult for snow plows and others. But, you know, that's something, while it hasn't happened in the past, that doesn't mean it won't happen in the future. But I think it shows the challenge that we have, whether we're talking about parking or signage. We try to make the decisions based on standards, and not that we have to be slavish to them, but you know, we try to be flexible at the same time, but we try to make sure that we're at least consulting the standards so that we're just not putting in devices just because people might want them, but they really aren't justified either based on the amount of traffic, based on the conditions of the particular intersection or street, based on the speeds. And so John Osga summarized, you know, some of the findings from the consultants who looked specifically at your intersection at Vine and Thatcher, and, you know, did acknowledge that there may be, and maybe that while a three-way stop sign is not justified, something to calm the speed of traffic, particularly southbound, could be justified. And that's really kind of where I hear the commissioner speaking. But I don't want to dominate the discussion. I want to, you know, I know, Dave, I don't know if you have more questions or comments, and then, and not that everyone has to talk, but I wanted to make sure that Pat Chase and Arun, if any other commissioners want to ask any questions of Samantha Tepper or weigh in on this particular issue, I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in if you want to. Arun, I mean, do you have any?
Yeah, I think we've all talked quite a bit about it. So some kind of a speed radar, whether it's temporary or permanent, especially with the traffic coming in from Madison going towards Lake Street on Thatcher would be good, because that's where usually the excessive traffic is. One way seems to be, going north seems to be faster. So I would suggest something like that would be a good start. And if that doesn't help out long-term, then we can potentially, as you said, discuss about other mitigation strategies.
Doug, you're muted.
Pat, Chase, do you have any comment or question on this particular intersection?
Absorbing. Thank you.
So, Doug, this is John Osga. At this point, I think I would like to figure out options, beginning options over there. And I would ask Doug or Rick or anybody else, you know, what signage could we install? And then also, in addition to signage both ways, because they say southbound is the busier flow of traffic, the faster flow of traffic in the report. But I also agree with Arun that northbound off of Madison can probably be as busy. Maybe, you know, who knows? But it's probably both ways. So what signage could we do over there? And also, I would like to do there what we did, I believe what we're doing on Thatcher north of Lake Street, because I don't want to do something somewhere that's different from somewhere else when we have the exact same situation. We have a two-block stretch north on Thatcher. We have a two-block stretch south on Thatcher. And I love those, what are they called? The blinking speed limit signs, both north and south, for both stretches of Thatcher. I would propose that now for the board to look at, and then look at their budget, whatever they do, to come up with that remedy for the Thatcher north of Lake Street and also Thatcher south of the tracks all the way to Madison, because those things are, those signs, that type of signage, it certainly affects me when I'm driving. I see it. I always look at my speedometer, and I think even the consultants have said they're very effective. The people that, the constituents, residents that have come in here said they're very effective. They see them, they slow down. So that's my opinion right now, that we have, that we look into those specific signs, but then maybe, and you're really good at this, Rick, other signage, static, not blinking, that can help out as well in there. Because now, again, this is a slightly different situation, because we don't have houses. I don't even know if we can put signage over there, because it's probably forest preserve property. So we might not even be able to touch that side of the street.
Oh, we've got that right of way.
John, this is,
yeah. Okay.
John, this is Doug.
Yes, sir.
Can you just repeat what type of sign did you say that you pay attention to? Because I'm skeptical of signage, but I wanted to make sure I understood what type of sign you thought might be effective or that you pay attention to when you're driving.
I think you're talking about the radar feedback sign. tell you how fast you're going and blink at you and give you the red and blue if you're going way too fast.
Yeah. And Jeff, do you know if it's within the budget to at least maybe install, for starters, a temporary radar sign on Thatcher on that block, and then we could look into whether a permanent sign, a radar, could be installed later?
There really isn't a temporary version of this. Those pole-mounted radar feedback signs are just what we install. I guess the temporary version is the police department, the transportable trailer, if you will.
Right.
You know, that's certainly something PD can put in their rotation for the trailer. As far as the pole-mounted signs, I don't think we don't have a stockpile of them sitting around or anything like that. You know, our budget year runs, the current one runs through April 30th. If we were looking to kind of stock up on some of these, ultimately the board could say, yeah, go out and buy them and put them in. But we don't have any right now, and I don't believe we've budgeted for anything beyond what we've already installed this year. I think we put 3 or 4 of them in this year, including the one further north on Thatcher, just north of Lake Street there. So if you guys were to recommend anything to the board and they approved it, that would be, those would just be new, not currently kind of accounted for ones.
And in this case, at least I'm, you know, in favor of at least recommending some kind of a pole mounted sign, because we have a recommendation from the engineers to do it. You know, I'm a little concerned, you know, about the slippery slope, and that, again, what kind of standard do we apply, you know, before we just install these things? And I am concerned also about signs that get ignored, which I think then become ineffective. But, you know, here, given that the engineers have recommended some kind of a flashing radar type sign, I'd be in favor of, in the short term, putting that block in the rotation for the police to put their movable sign, and then put it on the list for a pole mounted sign. And at least the recommendation here is that it would be for southbound traffic, but it sounds like there's some disagreement, perhaps based on, you know, people who live down there. Anecdotally, you know, people have a perception that it may be an issue northbound, but at least the data that was collected by KLOA suggests that the bigger problem is southbound.
Doug, I would agree with you 100%, and I would make that motion to, because of everything you said, and I'm not going to regurgitate all of that, but the motion I would make sitting here right now, listening to everybody's feedback, and I think getting to the root of the problem quickly without littering the parkway with signage, and that would be basically what KLOA, not recommended, but they, well, I guess sort of recommended, but to ask the board to consider a radar speed limit sign going southbound. And I think that, as I was explaining to the resident that's here, Ms. Tepper, is it Ms. Tepper? That, you know, it would be a beginning. We would have one sign that blinks if you're speeding, and we'll see how that annoys the deer and the neighbors, and what they say to that. But I think that would be a good beginning. And that's the motion I would make to ask the board to install, to vote to install that southbound. And then they could, in all their wisdom, figure out where exactly to put that. I guess it would be closer to Washington than later, because you want to slow them down immediately. But
probably middle of the block. You know, between the two.
Could be. The middle of the block is Vine, really. I mean.
Yeah, wherever. I don't care, but I think that would be a good start, to put one sign in. Don't break the budget. Don't litter the parkway with signage. Slow down the southbound traffic, where the consultants have told us most of this the average, with an, I don't know, I can't even call it speeding, because 15% of the traffic was over 32 miles an hour. So, you know, it would just slow down the traffic generally southbound. And you know, that's kind of where I'm at on this discussion.
Okay.
Why don't we see if there's a second to that motion, and then if there's any more discussion. I noticed Dave had his hand up. So why don't we see if there's a second, see if we need any more discussion before we vote. So is the motion to install at least to request the village to support a pole-mounted radar sign southbound on Thatcher around in the middle of the block, somewhere around Vine at a place to be determined in the discretion of Public Works?
I'll second that.
All right, any further discussion before we vote? Dave, I noticed you had your hand up.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I won't make this terribly long. I just want to ask a quick question about the temporary, the radar speed signs. Do they collect and store data that we can then read, Jeff, or is it just instantaneous feedback with no data collection? And the reason I ask is sort of along the lines of something Doug mentioned, which is the possibility that maybe these are ignored. And I'm wondering whether we have any metrics to figure out how effective these are. So for instance, on Washington, you know, I know that there is one of these and I wonder how effective it is. And if we had, you know, before and after data that we could submit to KLOA, we might be able to figure out that, you know, if they are not effective in certain locations, we can move them to other locations or save money or come up with other solutions. But ideally, the radar speed signs themselves would store data and not just be immediate feedback so that we wouldn't have to do any additional studies there.
I don't know if the pole mounted ones do. I want to say they're capable. I don't think we've actually pulled anything from them. I'll have to talk to the police department about that. I know the transportable trailer ones do. That's where we get the data
right
for these reports to share with the consultant. But that's certainly something we can look into.
Yeah, I think it'd be amazing because if we find out that the average 85th percentile speed is still 32 miles per hour, then you know, we're going to have to reevaluate whether that's a, you know, how we deploy that as a resource, right? So that's it. Thank you.
That's a great question, Dave. So, Jeff, thanks. If you can just look into that, that'd be helpful for a future meeting, just to hear what options are available for that kind of data collection. That would be helpful.
Mr. Chair,
any more discussion before we vote on the motion?
Yes, Doug. Does that, our motion, does that preclude us asking the police department to put the temporary one at least until? Can we do that as well?
I made a separate note, so that'll be taken care of.
Thank you.
Okay, so I heard, Jeff, you say that that'll just be a request that we make anyway, and
correct.
Do that.
Yeah, I'll just email them tomorrow. We'll get that. You know, again, we've talked about this probably 100 times. They have their rotation where things kind of move around town and that, so I will talk to them about that. I don't know if this is on their radar, so to speak, already or not, but well, it wasn't, I apologize. But we'll definitely get it in the hopper there. So that's not something we need an official motion. I will take care of that at the staff level tomorrow.
Are we good to vote on this motion then? Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff. Yes.
Commissioner Carroll.
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt. Commissioner J. Robin.
Yes.
Commissioner Osga?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Samantha, as Mr. Osga noted, what we recommend here is a recommendation. It's not binding. It goes to the village board. And so some of the things we do, like Jeff mentioned, we can ask the police department to move the temporary radar in that area. And so that's something that we can do, and they'll just do in the ordinary course. But some of these other things that require an ordinance and other action that will go up to the village board. Is that right, Jeff?
Correct.
So if you want to, you're certainly welcome to attend the next village board meeting when this is on the agenda, but otherwise it will be on the agenda, and they usually act on these things pretty promptly.
Just to clarify, we've got an upcoming board meeting on Monday night. This little too tight. Agendas were due today, so it won't be on Monday night's board agenda, but that's something we would get placed on second Monday of December. That I don't know what that date is, but that's when this would probably be queued up.
Thanks, Jeff. Why don't we go to Lydia Manning, who's been patiently waiting to talk to us about Chicago Avenue.
Thanks for coming in.
Take care.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Lydia Manning. I live at 755 William Street, corner of William and Chicago. And I just want to express my considerable concern after having cars first in my front yard on August 10th, and then most recently, November 11th, having a car come clear through my fence in the backyard about not only speeding, but also erratic driving, particularly around our intersection. So I'm not sure. I know I emailed Mr. Loster. Were you all able to see photos? Okay. So I just, in both instances, you know, normal afternoon times of the day, a mother and her child were walking the first time and thank goodness weren't run over. And again, heavy foot traffic on Chicago at 4:30, 4:15 in the afternoon when the incident occurred on the 11th. So I can tell, I'm not an expert in traffic calming patterns and controls, and I don't want to be, but I can tell you that I feel like something needs to be done. And I don't know what that is, but I don't want to feel like I take my life in my hands every time I walk out my door. to go get into my car.
Lydia, I need to, I'm turning my head because the pictures are sideways, but okay. I need to figure out how to rotate them. But can you tell us, do you live on the, you're in the southbound or on the, are you on, I'm sorry, and you are you on William or on Chicago?
I'm on, my front door is on William, right? So 755 William, I'm on the 700 block in the Prairie, in the historic district right there.
And what corner, south, the southeast?
Southeast corner, yes.
Southeast corner, okay. Thank you.
And so I can tell you, I think what happens, and I see it at least twice a week, people will treat the parking lanes that are empty as secondary lanes, and they'll gun it from usually coming either obviously from, you know, going west, but also coming east, and they'll bypass the line of traffic waiting to get through the four-way stop, clear the stop sign and just keep on going. And so people behave when cops park and they're present, but when there's no patrol there, it is the Wild West.
So Ms. Manning, that is a four-way stop.
Yeah.
At that corner. And I drive down Chicago Avenue every day, but I agree with you. Now the pop-outs, if I remember, they're not on that corner.
No, we don't have any of the jut outs.
Right. Okay. But it is a four-way stop.
Correct.
Where people are using the parking lane to bully their way through the intersection. They're not stopping. They're going around traffic.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
It's a four-way stop. It's curious to me how you can gain enough momentum and speed to take out a tree, uprooted the tree, through the tree on the parkway and into the fence. I mean, you have to be going, I don't know how fast, but not stopping at a four-way stop in order to gain that much momentum. Thank goodness. I mean, you know, like the dogs were in the yard again, people were out. Thank goodness nobody was injured. I don't know. I can tell you that when I come in to River Forest, crossing over Thatcher on Chicago, going east, the blinking traffic sign, I do pay attention to it, right? And it's always a cue to me like, oh yeah, that's right. Coming into River Forest, slow it down. I think sometimes those are effective. But with this, I don't know what options are available, but I can tell you that I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't bring it to the attention, because I don't want somebody to get run over and die.
Comments from other commissioners?
Is it a, have you noticed, Ms. Manning, have you noticed, is it primarily the driving in the parking lane, or is it the general speed of traffic? I know that traffic can move fast on Chicago at various parts, and there have been instances on it.
I think it's both. I think the speed, I think people gain a lot of speed going west, right, from Harlem.
Right.
Like, and this is the first stop sign they get to, right? So this Bonnie Bray, you know, again, right, I walk my dogs every day. I'm out there, and it, I mean, I'm just like, holy moly, like, this is not a racetrack. It's a neighborhood, you know? So people can pick up considerable speed. And then again, the parking lane, treating it like a secondary, you know, either a secondary turn lane or a way to bypass the line of traffic that can build up.
I'm very curious, Jeff, on these accidents, so they were documented. Would we know if these were residents that were running through town at these crazy speeds? Or Ms. Manning, I see the BMW parked in your backyard through your fence. Was that a River Forest resident?
No, I can tell you because I was included on the incident reports for insurance purposes. I made sure everybody was okay before I went out, just to say, you know, I have property damage. You know, I need to have an understanding of insurance, who's paying for what. And in both incidences, they were not River Forest residents.
Okay.
Jeff, I don't know exactly, Doug, I heard you mention something about a pop, or somebody mentioned something called a pop out. I'm wondering, is that what's on the corner of Bonnie Bray in Chicago, where the parking lanes are inset?
Yeah.
On the south side of
pump out. We put those in when we did Chicago a few years ago. They're on Forest, Keystone, Bonnie Bray, and I'm missing one, Jackson.
Got it.
So
got
those
it.
Are the four intersections that we put in to try to kind of stem speeding and some of this issue with people driving through the parking lane. We don't have them at every intersection, but those are the ones that were put in. And in this area, it's between Jackson at that all four corners, and at Bonnie, it's on the south side, so the southeast and the southwest corner.
Right. Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I've seen in some towns tall yellow spindles, for lack of a better word, that they put at the corners where, just so that you can't turn right for some reason. Would that be a consideration? Do we have anything of that nature where we could just try it and see what happens? Jeff, did it?
Yeah.
We haven't done it.
We don't have anything like that right now. Not to say we couldn't. And I'm not saying, you know, that might be the best alternative. I'm now in public works director mode. Plowing becomes a bit of a hassle, right? And I'm not saying that that's enough to say this is a terrible idea or anything, but, you know, there are some potential drawbacks as all. So,
But we plow around the bump outs now that we have them. I mean, but I understand your point, but now we have to rush that as well.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. And that might be the best, you know, the everybody kind of wins and everybody kind of loses a little bit. That might be the best alternative.
Well, because we can't put any more bump outs in, I assume.
You could. They're very expensive.
That's right. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, this might be a.
This is Rick Gillis. I've experienced this corner as well. Just knowing I was turning right once onto William, and someone came up the parking lane and almost hit me as they were trying to go around. Mm-hmm. So it does happen. At least I've experienced it myself. But that aside, your idea of the plastic pole sticking up might be something we could try. You know, as Jeff said, it's very expensive to do the bump outs. We did it when we were repaving, and we budgeted for it as part of the paving project. But could we try that in this area? And even if it were a summertime thing, thinking about the plow drivers, you know, they go out in December 1st, you know, and then we put them back in April 1st or whatever the date would be.
Mm-hmm.
So the plow guys can still what they need to do. But when people are out walking around, it's a little bit safer.
My opinion, sorry to cut you off, Rick. Are you done?
No, go ahead.
This is John Osga. My opinion on that corner is, I don't know, this is one of those situations where Mr. Reese brought up that people aren't going to look at a sign or pay attention to a blinking light. This is a perennial issue on Chicago Avenue, on Washington, on our busier through streets. I think the signage we did a little bit west of there with the blinking radar and then the school signs, you know, the pop-outs, I think those help slow traffic down towards Roosevelt Middle School. But I just almost feel that, you know, with the amount of accidents happening recently, because whenever you do a survey, and I know Ms. Manning is here prematurely because, you know, it just came up, but I'm thinking, okay, do we do another study? Do we spend the money? But I think a lot of us have lived here for a very long time, and we know that Chicago Avenue can get pretty hairy during the day, during rush hour, so forth and so on. And I'm wondering, again, the fellow that chimed in with regard to a camera, I can't see myself ever recommending putting something up permanently. And I'm just thinking out loud in that, you know, a police presence does work in slowing traffic down. We have the spare car that we park by the Jewel. We have, you know, the portable radar, but that doesn't, Jeff, that does not give out tickets, correct? That's just a speed, okay, speed meter. I'm wondering if there's a situation or if there's a machine that, you know, we do something temporarily, and when I say temporarily, I mean for a year, where there's something out there, there's a sign that says you will be ticketed, radar enforced, and they get a ticket. These drivers, residents or otherwise, I don't care who, but if you do something like that for, you know, recommended duration where people know that they better slow down or they're going to get a ticket. But then again, where does traffic go? If they have to slow down, then where do they cut through? So there's a lot of, so Ms. Manning, you got to understand, if we redirect, other people are affected. But I'm just trying to think, Chicago Avenue specifically, because it goes straight through. Let's say you're not a resident and you're going straight through, and Chicago is my artery into the city. So I get it. I live here. If I lived further west, I would continue down Chicago Avenue. So that is, this is the artery. This is a main street going through the western suburbs to get to wherever your destination is. But I think it might be time, like I said, I've been doing this a long time, that bump outs, radar speed signs might be not, they might not be as effective as just writing tickets, making it a point on Chicago Avenue for a year or whatever, and you know, kind of just being aggressive in slowing traffic. And I think writing tickets is the way to do that. Pulling people over, putting a car there temporarily, and that would block, you know, putting a police car there would block one of the traffic lanes that they're using to get around either left turning traffic or a car that they deem as moving too slow. So that's where I'm at on this Chicago Avenue issue, you know, seeing people parked in neighbors' yards, that you know, this happens a lot. And three accidents in the last quarter or the last 6 months is a lot. Time to start writing tickets and disinviting people to drive negligently.
I agree. It's an N of one. I can tell you this. I'm from Cincinnati and I grew up in a little town, Green Hills. Anybody who's anybody in that city knows that you do not go over 35 coming up Winton Road because you will get a ticket. It's like common urban knowledge, right? And I mean, I think it does work to be aggressive. I don't see many tickets being written on Chicago. So that might be a nice, you know, start to experimentation.
Ms. Manning, I too, this is Commissioner Chase, Pat Chase. I too live off Chicago and Bonnie Bray. I live on the northwest side, a couple houses north. So the traffic, I love it. They turn right coming west on Chicago Avenue to get to Concordia. We've had Chief Oliver put the sign that just for the northbound traffic. And I have to admit, it really did work. Yesterday, I'm driving home from the store. I'm in the driving lane. Somebody tried to go around me at the parking lane. And there was fortunately a car parked across the street, so they couldn't quite make it. But he was bound and determined that he was going to get eastbound on Chicago Avenue. And it was just very scary. I agree. Thank you.
So with that being said, Jeff, I think this is more of a police issue. And at this point, I sit back and I say, well, what could you recommend? Because I don't know from an authority standpoint, from a policing standpoint, what we can do over there. And I know if we take the car that's parked by Jewel or where, you know, I think you also parked that car on Washington and we move it over there, we don't have an abundance of resources, like you said. We don't have an endless budget, like you said. So is that something, or what do you recommend now that you're even higher up in the bureaucracy of River Forest, from a policing standpoint, what can we do to over there?
I mean, that's something I would have to defer to the police department on, and we could certainly talk to them about that. But where they are with their staffing levels and ability to rotate officers out there with, you know, a much greater frequency over the course of the next year, I have no idea. That's something I can certainly serve up to them as kind of an official, you know, request from the commission, if that's where you guys are landing. But I wouldn't begin to kind of speak for the police department as far as that's concerned right now.
Are there portable ticket giving cameras?
There are none that I am aware of that we have.
Okay, so it would require manpower.
I don't see another way to do it.
Right, okay. Okay, so
I need
recommendations from the smart people.
Can we not do the flashing red light camera, Jeff, like how we have in the city, which basically blinds your car the moment you go past the speed limit with those bright lights?
There's no better speed deterrent, and you know, nobody here will be able to run for higher office in River Forest because we'll be hated by everybody who lives here for putting them in. But I think they're very effective.
Oh yeah, they're very good.
I mean, it might be interesting to know whether or not the companies that provide those cameras do offer a portable option that you could lease for 3 months and try out rather than install permanently.
It's all fair. I don't know if red light camera companies make temporary versions or portable versions. There is an element of, I don't want to keep preaching the same thing. There's an element of cost here, right? Somebody has to review all of that. Somebody has to establish who gets a ticket, who doesn't, you know, who pulled into the lane because there was an accident over there and the camera went off accidentally kind of thing. I also don't know that this would work the same way, because the red light cameras that we do have are triggered off of an actual red light. We don't have that here. So at what point does that camera start snapping pictures? It can't just constantly run, which is kind of what we would need at William in Chicago. So I think conceptually it sounds nice, but practically speaking, I don't know that that would really functionally work for this purpose.
This is Rick. I mean, basically, what we have here are bad drivers, which we know. We see it every day on cutting through our town and ourselves. And we need more enforcement. I mean, that's the bottom line. Is, you know, as you, I believe, Ms. Manning, correct? Mm-hmm. I have it correct?
Yes.
The, you know, as you said, in your town, you were known not for speeding. If we had, you know, more enforcement and people driving down Chicago knew they better do 25 and stop when it says stop, it might work. And it might just take a couple weeks of hard work from the police department to get that out there. So I think it, really it's going to come down to enforcement. You know, we need to begin ticketing people going through these cut-through streets, which include Chicago and Washington. You know, those are the two main ones that I see all the time. You know, Thatcher's another one for north-south, and I know we're doing the study for the northwest corner, northeast corner, sorry. But, yeah, I see it as enforcement.
And Rick, this is Doug Reese speaking. I mean, I support the...
Doug, so I know you're talking.
Okay, I support the notion of more enforcement for sure. Again, during my quick research here, these the plastic posts are called like delineator posts. And it looks, you know, I'd like to have Jeff or, you know, the village look into the feasibility of installing some of those posts in the parking lane. You know, it would allow people on bikes to get through. It would allow people still to park, but it could prevent people from driving down the parking lane. And they also could be removed, you know, when necessary for snow. You know, they're probably a little bit unsightly, but they're better than a speed bump and cheaper than a bump out. And so I guess I'd be interested in having Public Works consider the feasibility of installing some of those posts in that area, maybe as a trial basis to see, you know, how it could work to particularly to discourage people from driving down. If somebody's bound and determined, the way they're designed is they're flexible. You can drive over it. But, you know, hopefully it may be enough to prevent people from just willy-nilly driving down the traffic, driving down the parking lane.
Certainly something we can look into.
Is there other, or are there other ways that you know of, Jeff, where we can persuade people from not driving in the parking lane? Because nowadays, Chicago Avenue is only one lane, and the other lane is parking, correct?
Correct. Yep.
So what measures can we employ to keep people out of the parking lane?
We've talked about people blowing stop signs, and, you know, the radar feedback signs help, but you're still going to get people speeding past them, you know, unless you like physically deter those drivers. Sometimes it seems like we can put all the signage up in the world and flashing lights, and those that are looking to kind of flout the rules are going to continue to do that unless they're physically deterred. Oh. So, you know, I don't hate the idea of trying to figure out a way to do plastic, you know, bollards out there or something like that. I mean, honestly, it might only take one bollard in the middle of the parking lane. And if the operations teams on our end are aware of them and, you know, don't think it's a big issue, then maybe it's not a big issue, but maybe that's enough to keep people from driving through the parking lane. Short of physically deterring them, I don't know. I don't know, because we could put 100 signs out there and we're still going to have somebody driving through the parking lane to get around somebody.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
You have to block. I mean, some way you have to just block.
So it's a speeding issue in the correct lane. It's a speeding issue in the parking lane.
Correct.
It's a navigating issue in the parking lane. So if we were to go, yeah, so we have
bad drivers. End of story.
Right. It's bad. Are we, if we did a radar, we're talking about maybe putting that, the box, the portable box out there, I would imagine, you know, moving.
Well, they
that.
Have one just the block before.
No. I mean the big one,
yeah.
The big portable one that says you're speeding.
Trailer, yeah. The trailer, yeah.
And do we have any signage on Chicago Avenue that says, or could we put, even if it's, I guess it would be untrue part of the time, you know, radar enforced? You know how they do on Harlem? Because you see the radar enforced. Sorry, Doug, I'm going a little gray here. Gray area here, but you see when you come up to the corner of Lake and Harlem, red light photo enforced, and you know that if you turn right on red, you owe somebody $100. But in the village, or are there signs out there? I think I've seen them. Well, I've seen them on you know, lowly highways in the middle of Wisconsin, but radar enforced.
But we do have every block no driving in the parking lane.
We do have that, that's for sure.
And people are still driving in the parking lane. So I think more signage is not going to help.
I don't think signs are going to help either.
Yeah.
You brought us a tough one, Miss Manning.
I know. I mean, I live on this corner, so I know, and I can tell you, I mean, you know, it's like I'm awake at 2 a.m. from 2 to 4 usually, and stop signs are optional. Like even when there's no traffic, people are like, you know, it blows my mind, right?
They're optional during school hours as well.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, we've all seen it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would love to ask the pros in this situation. You know, I'm just a resident of River Forest doing my job like the rest of us here, but the people who enforce, you know, the laws, traffic, the police, they know what they would do at that corner. And I would love to get some feedback from them. Okay. And then make a recommendation to the board, because we have a bunch of competent officers that work on those roads, streets every day. I'd love to hear from them.
To be honest, I think they would probably tell you when they're there, when they have a presence there, they issue tickets for people not following the rules. They can't be there all the time.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is they just can't be there all the time. And so now, you know, in terms of what they would suggest when they're not present, I think we're all on the same page. I don't, they're not pros at, you know, traffic calming measures or things like that either. You know, while very capable, when they're not there to enforce, their job is enforcement, obviously. When they're not there to enforce, I think they're a bit at a loss as well. So, again, I go back to the, you know, a physical deterrent, whether it's a decoy police vehicle or the radar trailer or a plastic knockdown bollard. Other than physically deterring somebody from passing through there, if police presence isn't there, I genuinely don't know what else is going to stop a driver from driving through there.
Is this something that we asked KLOA to give us some recommendations on? Just traffic calming, just slowing.
Trying to address? Are we trying to address speeding in the driving lane? Are we trying to address driving through the parking lane? Because if we're trying to address driving through the parking lane, they could say, you know, build a wall, put a bollard in,
right.
You know, at something physical.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, nobody should be passing through the driving lane there. So the obvious low-hanging fruit to me is something physical. You know, speeding, if we're concerned about speeding or people running the stop sign, I think we do wander back into some sort of study to determine, you know, what the problem is, to what degree is it a problem, and then potential resolution. With it being a four-way stop already, you know, I don't think we're going to be I could be wrong. I don't think we're going to be at a, this should be a fully signalized intersection. But short of that, with it being a four-way stop already, I don't know what's in between there, other than enforcement of the four-way stop sign that's already present.
Right. Yes, what I'd like to see, you know, in an incremental approach would be to start with enforcement, and Jeff, for you to explore with the folks at the village whether some form of bollard or, you know, probably whether it's a, I don't know if it would be a metal one or a flexible one, but I'd leave that to you all to decide if that's a feasible alternative to try. I'd like to see us try both those things as a starting point, and then we could, you know, see how those work.
I would second that.
All right, so humor me. If this is the way we all want to head, somebody, you know, Commissioner Chairman Reese, was that a motion?
If we need a motion, I don't know that we need a motion to ask for more enforcement, but if the request is for the village to install, at least on a trial basis, some form of bollard, if that's the term of art, I see that as a term of art or delineator, some kind of an appropriate post in the traffic, parking lane to try to prevent people from driving in the parking lane. So that plus enforcement, you know, we hope that the enforcement would help address the speeding, and that the installation of some trial bollard or post would help prevent, see what that does to prevent people from driving down the parking lane.
Yeah, so I'll take that as a motion. Just because we're sticking something out in the roadway and I don't know where it's going to go from there, I'd like to get a motion. I'll consider that a motion. I'd like a second, and I'll take an official vote just so we've got it on the record that, you know, the commission is
So to be clear, the motion is for the Public Works to consider installing some form of pipe bollard, whether it be metal or plastic, flexible or otherwise, you know, in their discretion to deter driving down the parking lane.
Okay.
Second.
All right. I'll take vote. Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Caro?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt? Commissioner J. Rahman?
Yes.
Commissioner Osga?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Lydia, thanks for coming. As you heard, this will be a recommendation to the village board. You know, hopefully this is something that we'll be able to try and see if it works. You know, a lot of times in the village, we do things on an incremental basis. And so we try some things and see if they work. And then if they don't, we need to maybe take more extreme measures. I mean, we could certainly revisit that area. You know, it is that's a hot intersection, as you know, and something that I'm guessing we'll be revisiting at some point down the road. So if you have other issues, please, we appreciate your and your neighbor bringing this to our attention. And if you have other issues, or if you're not seeing any action, reach out to Jeff or let us know.
Okay, perfect. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. Cool. Anything else for the good of the order? So there's an article today in the New York Times about the challenge of hybrid meetings, where some people are in person and some are online. So we're experiencing that. I thought of coming in today, and so maybe we're heading that direction, but
yeah, I think all of you guys should get back here.
I think we managed. No,
it was horrible without you, Doug. Just
the next meeting, it'll be in January. I don't think it should be in person at all. I'm going outside.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second?
Yes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you all.